Flynn here, I want to thank Kevin for the inadvertent conferral of an honorary degree. And I'd like a recording of your introduction so I can play it for my mom later. And she'll be so proud.
Good deal.
No, I am in fact not a doctor. But I will pretend to be one for the afternoon. We all do. All right, well, we'll see. Maybe that'll come up, maybe it won't.
Try disconnecting and reconnecting to the wireless because I've been having issues.
Really? Our wireless here? Not working properly?
Stop, absolutely.
It's something for me to wave my hand at, so we can proceed until it maybe turns up. So my name is Robert Maxwell, and I am with the Digital Forensics Lab here at the University of Maryland. The Digital Forensics Lab grew out of a consortium with universities called CyberWatch here in the DC. Well, I say it started in the DC area. It's now in 16 states across the country. They're growing leaps and bounds. Their main focus is cybersecurity education. There are an awful lot of community colleges involved, a number of four-year institutions like University of Maryland, Johns Hopkins, GMU, a number of local four-year institutions, as well as they also focus a lot down at the K-12 level for the cybersecurity education, trying to work with teachers, guidance counselors, and parents to better educate children at the lower level. The lab itself is focused around the idea of providing instructors at these community colleges and four-year institutions if they need it with case studies, curriculum material, and some actual virtual laboratory facilities to facilitate their instruction in forensics. One of the things that I've realized as I've become more involved in that, folks that want to teach forensics at a community college, and no offense to anyone here who might be from a community college, but these folks aren't forensics people. They've taken a class, they've read some books or some articles, and they'd like to teach a class in forensics. And that's great. We're trying very hard. That's not universal. I don't mean to disparage these folks, and they're doing decent work, but we're trying to help them. We're trying to provide them with curriculum material so they can focus on learning the material and on the teaching of it and not on the creating of the material themselves. As mentioned earlier, the idea that you're going to sit and you're going to create several case studies for a new semester's class every couple of years is a lot of work, and so we're trying to offload some of that onto us. As far as education goes, I know from our standpoint, we see very much the legal end of forensics as opposed to the applications to the humanities. My eyes have been opened a little bit here, and I see new avenues for us to pursue a little bit more people to bring into the fold, as it were. We very much try to teach the process and the procedure of the collection of evidence, as well as the techniques involved in doing it with digital media. But as I sit here and I'm pondering it this morning, I realize that forensics professionals are going to be necessary not only in the legal forms, but in the humanities, as you're demonstrating here today. Archiving things. You're going to have folks in businesses doing information assurance. You have a number of places where you need to be able to provide this facility. So I see today that we're going to need to really branch out and include more in what we're teaching. So we are very much trying to get these community college instructors up to speed. And we're trying to provide them a lot of hands-on training. And we realize that one of the drawbacks to what we do is that's what they're looking for. They want hands-on training. They want to come, they want to play with toys, see the back of the room. They want to do work. They want to sit in front of a computer and they don't want to be taught process and procedure very much. It's very difficult to convince them that they need to learn that, or that they don't already know that. So that's a challenge that we see. And so we try to include a little bit of that in every one of our sessions, but it's one of the ongoing challenges. Another challenge that we have is basic technology literacy. The last presentation was very clear that when you're dealing with forensics, especially with regard to this archiving question, you're dealing with some very old material. You're dealing with things that technologically are difficult to access. So we're trying to, as well, include some of that. From the legal standpoint, that's a little less relevant, but moving forward, it's going to become an issue as technology continues to accelerate. We talked about the enormous amount of data that's the traffic that's increasing. Storage capacities are increasing exponentially, simply being able to access all of this data to be able to manipulate it, we're going to need to focus on methods to, in an automated fashion, get through that data and try to find ways to make sense of it, not simply manually searching through it and having somebody who has a clever idea where to look for the next piece of evidence that they need. I do wonder about just a couple of things that I heard this morning, and I apologize because my notes for what I was going to say is sort of run into the notes I was taking this morning. So maybe I'll leave these notes. But let me extend an invitation. If you are looking for another avenue to pursue with pursuing case studies, if you are looking for an avenue to reach out to instructors and students, we do have students that come out to our events as well. Please contact me either today or later this afternoon and come and give us a hand at the lab, because we'd love to create additional content to put up there for instructors to use. We would love to make this much more accessible to students. And I'll tell you, it's more of a challenge here at the university, where we don't actually have a digital forensics class or program, than it might be in other locations. So I'd love to collaborate with somebody if you've got some time. Thank you.